Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. I have the privilege of preaching last Wednesday, this Wednesday, or the Wednesday before, last Wednesday, talking about for the July 4th celebration, and then this Wednesday. I'm in Romans chapter 5, if y'all have your Bibles and want to join me. I'm just loving this study, and I want to jump right into it tonight because I got some things that the Lord has laid on my heart. As I was reading through this and really meditating this week and listening to different sermons on Romans 5, I listened to different commentaries. I read a bunch of things about it, and God just really, just as I started reading, I just sat there and would write. I don't know if you ever do that in journal, but this was some of my thoughts. I just started writing some things, and God was downloading some things into me. So let's start in Romans 5:1, because this was the first thing that was revealed to me through Scripture, and I think it's something we would all probably know. In fact, tonight will be a good night for a bunch of amens. Amen. There you go. I looked right at Michael. It's a good night to affirm, because I don't think there's going to be anything tonight that's going to whoop anybody. I think it's going to be an encouragement. Romans 5 ought to be a book that when you're dealing with things in life and you need some encouragement, just turn there. Romans 5 is a great book. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. Peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Tonight, we've been made right. And we've been made right how? By faith in Jesus. That's what makes you right, is faith in Jesus. Salvation is the greatest gift that you or I will ever receive. Salvation. Now let me just say that real close to that, in a close second place, I believe one of the greatest gifts that's available for us is peace. So salvation, greatest gift. But I think after salvation, the greatest gift that you receive is peace. Verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Have you ever heard someone say, "You're just so lucky"? Anybody ever say that? I used to hear that periodically. "You're just so lucky." I mean, after I married the most beautiful woman in the world, some of my guy friends, "You're so lucky." And I wanted to say, "You're right." But there are times after reading this verse, I think a good comeback would be, "Actually, I'm just privileged." Probably not something you should say. Or is it? Because right there, Christ has brought you and I into this place of undeserved privilege. That's Scripture. Now, you're not there to hold it out for everybody just to brag and say, here we go, this is who I am. But the fact is, none of us are lucky, but we all have undeserved privilege. If we know Jesus, because of the faith that we have in Him, because of our faith, Christ brought us to a place of undeserved privilege. Now, a lot of times you're going to take that verse and try to apply it to world thinking. Please leave this in a spiritual mindset. See, there's just a piece that God's people walk in, or should. As I was writing, I just kind of was thinking about some things that in my life I've watched undeserved privilege in people. And my grandfather was one of them. Some of you all had the privilege of knowing my grandfather. I mean, he his last few years up and down with his health, but not one time ever did he complain. I mean, you never heard him griping about, "Well, I just don't feel real good." I mean, How you doing? I'm just having a great day. And I remember watching him and thinking, it's crazy. Grandpa, are you not in some pain? He goes, no, I feel great. And I mean, the report from the doctors said that you shouldn't feel good. We get mad at him because he go into the doctor and doctor would say, how you doing? He goes, I'm fine. Everything's great. The doctor's like, well, I don't guess I need to see you. And he may have had some issues going on, but God gave him an undeserved privilege in his health, even though the reports weren't great. His mind was so overpowered by the Spirit of God. I can't even explain it. I'm trying to put into words something that doesn't have words to explain. But these last few years, he was just a joy to be around. And there were times, I remember there were times he didn't look like he was going to make it from what the doctors were saying. And I would have people say, I just don't know how much longer he'll be around. I said, he's going to make it. One way or another, he's going to make it. Here's why. He already has. See, he understood that Christ had him in a place of undeserved privilege. He didn't deserve it, but he sure received it. And he walked in it in a place that death just wasn't any big deal. I mean, right up till the night before, we were sitting in his living room, and I remember Teresa and Mel comes over, and we're singing praise songs. Well, they were called hymns, but he was praising them. And I mean, he just laying back in the couch, just enjoying the presence of God. And I thought that was so cool because he was enjoying an undeserved privilege here on earth that he was getting ready to slip into eternity and enjoy forever, and it just wasn't a big deal. There was such a peace that I just can't really explain it. He had a peace about his life. And I will say that there was a few people that didn't have a peace with their life that when he passed into eternity or passed into heaven, it tore them up pretty bad. And one of them specifically said, does this not even bother you? I remember them being frustrated because I wasn't all tore up. I in and out of the doctor's office, time and time again, I'd watch him go. And I remember thinking, I ought to be upset a little more than I am. But I had a peace. Because when you share undeserved privilege with those who know they have it, and you know you have it, it puts you in a place that other people don't get. And I tried to explain it, and I'm like, I don't know how to explain this. How do you explain 2,000 years ago, Jesus going to a cross, and I've accepted him as Lord and Savior, and I've got some undeserved privilege that I'd like to give you and get you to understand, but you're going to have to make a decision. And there's just so many people that are not taking advantage of this undeserved privilege. They're just not. I mean, they're not walking in any type of peace. Oh, they'll tell you they're saved, but then they'll follow it up with, well, I'm just a mess right now. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm just a mess right now. I'm just frustrated, and you don't even understand. And you can talk to God's people who say they're saved, they've experienced salvation, but they haven't got the first really big byproduct of getting saved, and that's peace. And they're not enjoying it. And here's the thing. I've got to watch myself because I get around those people and I start losing my peace. I'll get frustrated and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Where am I going? I've got to maintain the peace that I have. Verse 1 again. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight, by faith we have peace with God. It's a big deal. Things can be a wreck around you. They can just be messed up around you. But when you're looking to God, then peace is going to be your attitude. Our peace is with God. It's in God. So when things in this world go wrong, I don't look for peace to come based on the things of this world. Things of this world happen, and I have allowed them to stress me out. And I've tried to find peace. If this will just happen, I'll get peace again. If I can just write out what I want to happen, I'll have peace again. That is not new covenant promise. And we're teaching on the new covenant this year. See, the Old Testament, people couldn't get peace anywhere. Paul's telling us when God has become your source, who God is where you're looking, when God is who you're placing your trust and your faith in, it will allow you to live at a place where everything else won't move you. Well, if I could just get a good report, I'll be okay. You already got a good report. How much better does it get that you have undeserved privilege that can overpower your mind and circumstances? It's taken years for many of us to get here, and we're still all probably working on it. Therefore, Romans 5 ought to be a continual bookmark. I mean, I'm just going to hang out here. When I get any news, whatever the case, I want to make sure my attention is where it needs to be so news doesn't move me out of peace. And right now, we need to know that the news is going to do everything it can to move you out of peace. And a lot of people, that's their source. I'll be at peace if this happens. I'll be at peace if this president gets elected. I'll be at peace if this is what happens. If the big, beautiful bill passes, I'll be at peace. If it does pass, I'm not going to be at peace anymore. Well, wait a minute. What does that have to do with your peace? It has to do with it when you're looking to the wrong source. Romans 5, verse 17. This is a good way to indicate where how you're thinking and where you're looking for peace. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 and 19 is phenomenal. It says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. When it says many became sinners, that's talking about us. But because one other person then after that obeyed God, we then now have an option of becoming part of that many. You're just going to have to make a choice. And when peace is not in your life, you're making the wrong choice. You're letting sin, you're living condemned because of the one man, Adam. We could live righteous because of one man, Jesus. Well, Pastor, this just can't be that easy. It really is. We make this way harder. The problem is that many live life based on what one man did. My question is, which man are you choosing? Which part of the many are you? Because there are many over here and there are many over here. I'm going to be part of the many that are listening to and living under the one man Jesus than living under the one man Adam. Both brought you something. So the question is, are you living condemned or are you going to live right standing? Let's go back. When you made the right choice, so I jumped to the end of the chapter there, but when you make the right choice, you don't have to live frustrated. Here's the reason that we live frustrated. It's because we're making a choice. Now, I can go back to the one man, but we're just not following the right thing. And that thing is faith in Jesus. We're putting faith in circumstances. And when those circumstances don't go our way, we forget that, oh God, I need your help, and we're going to try to reestablish faith. Why don't we just continue in faith? So when circumstances come up, we handle it different. Everyone here has frustrations, disappointments. You have expectations for things to happen that don't. I mean, they failed expectations, stress, problems, trials. The New Testament in the Greek, what we want to read next is about problems and trials. Everyone handles them different. My question tonight is, Romans 5 tells us what we could do in handling them righteous. How you handle them will then determine how useful you can be to someone else. As God's people, are you a help to someone based on what you've gone through? Or are they looking at you going, boy, I hope I don't end up where they are. They're just a mess. They're all bent out of shape. How you handle problems and trials, how you handle them will determine how useful you can be to yourself, to your family, to your friends, to your job, to everything else. How you handle them. When reality doesn't meet what you were expecting, what do? See, expectation sometimes doesn't end up your reality. So when you have an expectation and then you add reality, oftentimes you find yourself, now I'm in a trial. I've got a problem. I expected this car to get me to this destination. That was my expectation. And so then you have a flat, the engine, something happens to it, something goes. Reality is your expectation just got ruined. So now what do you have? I got a problem. I got a trial. You can apply that to anything in life, and everybody probably has their own story. And if you don't, you will. If you haven't, you're lying. People live in negativity and pessimism too often. And all it is a result of expectation not becoming their reality. Really, they're a pessimist, they're frustrated, they're negative. And when you do this long enough, here's what happens. You become a victim. And we have a victim mindset. All it amounts to is you're living by the wrong man. It's that easy. So I want to give you five things tonight that will help you to be resilient when you start seeing trials. Well, you had an expectation, and we ought to have expectations. Don't get me wrong. We ought to have goals. We ought to have vision. We ought to have dreams. So we have expectations. But we don't allow whatever happens in reality to determine our outcome. That is living by sight, not by faith. Faith is in God. So how are we resilient when these problems come? Here's the first way you can be resilient. Stay in faith. That's what I started out with tonight. Stay in faith. Since you were made right by faith, and now things are wrong, you better get back to faith. You need to stay in it. You got to stay in faith. Every day you got to make a choice to look to Jesus. Otherwise, you start drifting into Adam. We all find it very easy to compromise when danger comes, but to remain faithful is to invite God's attention. This car, I don't even know. I should have sold it. This car. Well, where did that frustration come from? Where did that outburst come from? You didn't stay in faith. That car breaking down, I mean, the word says, don't be surprised when this trial comes. So you got to stay faithful. Number two, build your character in it. God's priority is not our happiness. God's priority is not our happiness. I don't know if you heard that or if you're writing it down, but I'm going to spend some. God's priority is not our happiness. That's not what his priority is. His priority is character development. And that doesn't happen by everything just being all happy. Now, I'm not talking about joy. We can remain in joy. But I'm talking about looking for things in life to happen based on our expectation. And if it does, it'll make me happy. That's not the way the kingdom principles work. So hear this. He's going to see us through if we see him. He's going to see us through if we see him. Let's keep reading Romans 5, verse 3. Go going back towards the beginning. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Here's those words. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So let's give God perspective here. God has a perspective for your life that he wants you to develop, and he can't do it for you, but it's in problems and trials that you have a choice to look to the right man to guide you through. See, problems and trials. Okay, we got one. Here's what we're going to do with this problem and trial. We're not going to add to it. We're just going to put an equal sign next to it. So problem and trial equals endurance. A problem and trial is just going to equal endurance. Then endurance is going to put another equal next to it. It's going to put a God character or strength. And then right after a God character and strength, according to Scripture, it's going to put another equal sign, and it's going to give a confident hope of your salvation. What's salvation? Being saved past your problem or trial. Your confident hope of salvation equals no disappointment. All of those things are equal in God's perspective. So for a God perspective, problems and trials should equal, if you've gone through the process, equal, no disappointment. That's what we just read. Man's outcome through Adam, bunch of sin entered, problems and trials equal disappointment. If problems and trials equal disappointment for you, you need to stay in Romans 5 because it gives you a different outcome. It's pretty cool. I mean, you start looking through. This is the place for amens. Michael, you're doing good. It's a big deal. So we're just on point two, so let's go to three. Get the right support for the solution. Well, we messed this one up. Romans 5, verse 9. And since we've been made right, here we go, in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. God's not condemning you. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of his son. He died so that we could have everything taken care of, and he was raised to life so that we could have life and have life abundant. But you won't have it looking at your worldly situation and saying, boy, this is just great. No disappointments. No, no, no. You see it through Jesus and you say, thank you, God. It's my faith in you that I'm not living disappointed. I've got hope. I've got character. I've got everything that's needed to live the life you've called me to live. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Praise God. Psalm 118, verse 8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, verse 9. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in government. The whole reason why princes is listed there is because that is the world official. The government cannot be your refuge. People will let you down. Leaders will let you down. God will be your deliverer. We've got to put our confidence, our hope, our trust and faith in God. Number four, find your ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction in your relationship with God. That's where you find it. So when you go to get counsel and you're trying to figure out what to do in number three, you've got to know that the only way that you're going to get right counsel is the Word of God. And if you're getting it from a person and it's not backed up by the Word, then you're getting it from man. But do you know that man can deliver God's Word? It's still God's Word. And all he was a vessel to get God's Word into your heart and life. And so if the Word of God's not coming out, of whoever's talking and speaking into your life, then no, you're hearing from man. A couple things that happened today. They were working on the roof of a house, and I was over there, and one of the guys that was working I'd never met before, and his name happened to be Christian. And I thought, well, I wonder if that represents who he is. And I thought, I met him, super nice guy. And so what's happened? He goes, well, I like your trailer. I had a trailer there behind my truck. He goes, I like your trailer. And he said, can I have it? And I looked at him and I thought, what kind of question is that? I don't even know you. But I didn't say that. I had to fight the thoughts of being a smart aleck. But I came back and I said, man, you must know the Word. Because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And I said, so I'm going to ask you. First, I'm going to say, yes, you can have it, but there's some conditions. You're welcome to it. I just need about $5,000 or $6,000. So can I have $5,000 or $6,000? He said, nope. I said, well, then the answer to your question is nope. But I said, I love that you know the Word. Keep on asking, man. Keep on asking. So what's our response? Bring the Spirit with you wherever you are. Why? Because you're looking to one man, Jesus, not the one man, Adam. It's just the way we operate. Find your fulfillment and satisfaction in your relationship with God. Then you don't got to impress everybody you're around. I'm just worried about making him famous. And had they rejected him, and I've been in those situations, Michelle and I were there last week. We invited someone that happened to live in this area to church. That's what we did. Or we just actually, before we invited, we went ahead and invited, but before we invited, Michelle asked, said, y'all go to church anywhere? And it was a husband and wife, and the lady said, no. Well, we'd like to invite you. That was the end of the conversation, but I just want you to know that if you're trying to find your fulfillment in relationships with people before you find a relationship with God, you're going to be disappointed. And the Bible tells you, yeah, you don't have to be that. I want to end with the fifth point here. View your life from God's perspective. You're his son. You're his daughter. He doesn't want you living in disappointment. He doesn't want you being disappointed. Hebrews 13:5 says, I'll never leave you, or I'm never going to forsake you. And I've always wondered about that verse. I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. Aren't those both the same thing? No, they're not. They're not. I want to get it a little deeper here. He means he'll never physically leave us, nor will he ever turn his heart away from us. See, that there's two things there. Leave means physical. Forsake means emotional. Well, we all do things Jesus doesn't like. I get that. But he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Aren't you glad? We all do things at times that people don't like. And if you're married, I can tell you, if you don't know what it is, ask your spouse. Every one of us does things that people don't like. But I love that the marriage relationship is an example of the relationship Jesus has with the church. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm never going to physically depart from your life, nor am I ever going to turn my heart away from you. I'll always love you. I'm always right here. He wants you. And when you view your life from God's perspective, you can handle whatever you're facing. in life. In life, there's always disappointments. You know, some of the greatest people in history have failed. Albert Einstein failed his college entrance exam. Walt Disney was fired from his first media job, needs to be fired again. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Disappointments happen in life. Now, we look at them and go, yeah, but they went on and were a major success. I know. And we'll look at that and we'll only leave it in the physical. But what makes God's people live in undeserved favor, undeserved wow, undeserved privilege. What makes God's people do that is keeping your eyes on Jesus. And Romans 5 ought to help us all live the life that he's called us to live. Isn't that awesome? It's just great. I hope y'all got something out of that tonight. Y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.